A research institute once concluded that there are six things which are necessary to be an effective teacher. The first item that they listed is desire. If you do not have desire, you're probably not going to be an effective teacher. Item number two was knowledge. If you're not knowledgeable about a subject, you're probably not going to be an effective teacher. If a person is going to be an effective instructor, they need to have quality number three, the ability to communicate. Patience is the fourth thing this research institute pointed to. If you're going to teach, if you've ever done that, you probably know that a sense of humor has some value, and they also listed this. Item number six was sufficient time. You need to have enough time to do a thorough job. And as I think about these six requirements, and I believe that this is a pretty good summary of the items that a person needs to teach well or to be an effective teacher, they're not all that difficult to achieve. In fact, as we think about the six qualities which were just enumerated, if these are the basic qualities for a teacher, almost anyone can teach. We might say, based on the items just listed, that a person who has passed the age of 10 has likely taught at one point or another. By the age of 10, a child has typically had, at least on one occasion, a desire to show someone, to teach someone something. By the age of 10, a child will typically have enough knowledge to teach someone something. By the age of 10, most kids can communicate pretty well. By the age of 10, if a child really wants to communicate some information, he or she is usually capable of showing sufficient patience. By the age of 10, a lot of children have at least a certain sense of humor. And by the age of 10, they can usually find sufficient time to do a thorough job when it comes to instructing someone. Now, we all recognize, I think, that not every teacher is equal in his or her abilities when it comes to teaching. Not all teaching may be at the level that we might prefer. But there is a sense in which virtually anyone past the age of 10 can teach someone. Some of that instruction might come in the home. It might be a mom, it might be an older son or daughter in the home that teaches something like cooking or cleaning, some of the house cleaning skills, housekeeping skills. There may be teaching that's done when it comes to the area of maintenance skills in, outside, and around the home. Or it may be that someone has taught us how to use a lawnmower, or maybe a snowblower, or other machinery. For those of us who've been with us in recent weeks, you know that we're studying the topic of elders, the qualities associated with elders. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, we have a quality which is described as being apt to teach. Paul said if a man wants to serve as an elder, if a man is going to work as an elder, he needs to be apt to teach. Well, that's not surprising, thinking about what elders are supposed to do. Two, it's also, I think, necessary to point out that there should be a sense in which every single person who's a Christian should be, to some degree, apt to teach, trying to share, trying to communicate spiritual information with others. When we think about apt to teach, the first point that might come to our minds is that this refers to public teaching in a congregation. Oftentimes, I think, when this quality is looked at in a congregation, a person says, well, okay, has that elder ever preached a sermon? Or has the potential elder ever preached a sermon? Or could he preach a sermon? Is the elder teaching a Bible class? Is the potential elder capable of teaching a Bible class? And all those things are good. It's great if an elder can preach some sermons. It's wonderful if he is serving as a Bible class teacher or is capable of serving as a Bible class teacher. But you know, when you look at that quality, apt to teach in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, the Bible doesn't specifically define what that means. There is no footnote there that says he's got to preach. There is no footnote there that says he's got to teach a class inside the church building. As I think about that quality, one of the verses that comes to my mind is something that we find in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Now, this is a passage which I don't think I've ever used in a sermon. We've covered it sometimes in some Bible classes, but in Mark 4, verse 1, the Bible says Jesus began to teach. That in and of itself may not seem to be too unusual, but there is a location associated with the Lord's teaching. In Mark 4, verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus began to teach by the sea. As I think about this passage, my mind goes back many years to a time when Teresa and I were worshiping with a congregation in Montana. I remember at that congregation an elder. And memory may fail me, but I cannot remember any time that that elder ever preached a sermon, at least inside the building. I cannot, to the best of my ability, recollect any time that that man ever taught a Bible class inside the church building. But one of the things that I do remember about that man is that he loved to teach outside. This man would take groups into the mountains, and he would teach. His specialty was teaching in the mountains. Oftentimes, nature was the backdrop for some of his lessons, and he, out there in that environment, was considered to be a great, great teacher, one of the best teachers the congregation had. When we read that description apt to teach in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, we might, because of our culture, associate it with teaching inside the church building. Nothing wrong with that. But we want to make sure that we don't put more or add more to this quality than is there. Sometimes people are apt to teach, but it may not be in the church building. As we begin to think about this quality and some of the other characteristics for elders in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, we begin little by little to realize that elders are not going to be perfect men. They never have been, and they never will be. We need qualified men. The Bible certainly speaks about qualified men and the characteristics that need to typify them, but they're not going to be perfect people. One illustration of the fact that elders are imperfect people is found in teaching. In the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 34, a couple chapters later, we find something else. It's once again Jesus being pictured as a teacher, but now as Mark describes the Lord, the text says that he was teaching many things. Certainly when it comes to the Bible, it is possible to teach many things, all kinds of subjects that a person might cover from the scriptures. When it comes to elders, not every elder is going to be qualified to teach on as many subjects or maybe the same depth as another elder. Imagine that there is an elder or a potential elder, and this man is serving or he's willing to serve in a local congregation, and he is a good man, really trying to do what's right, fulfills the qualities. But as we look at this man and his teaching, he is someone who does really well with the fundamentals of the faith. How to become a Christian? He's great. How to worship as a Christian? He's got it all down. When it comes to Christian living, he does very, very well as far as communicating that information. But you know, when it comes to some other matters, he's not such an apt teacher. Then in this same eldership, we have another fellow, and he is a theology professor at the local Christian university. And this fellow, because of his job, because of his background, because of his training, he is someone who is qualified to, using the words from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, he is someone who is capable, he's apt to teach when it comes to discussing the deep things of God. Now, he can deal with the other things that first elder I described is able to do very well, but the second elder doesn't do nearly as well with the first principal things. And then there is a third elder who, perhaps because of his job, perhaps because of his interest, he is able to do extremely well. He's apt to teach when it comes to things like false religions and especially cults. Well, that shouldn't bother us. That shouldn't surprise us. We see the same kind of thing when it comes to the field of medicine. Imagine that we need a cardiologist, and we make an appointment with a neurologist. Well, that neurologist is probably going to say, I'm a qualified doctor. Look at my degree. This is where I went to school. These are the people that have helped. But the neurologist is not going to be apt to doctor us, even though he's a doctor, if we need the skills of a cardiologist. When it comes to being apt to teach, elders are going to vary in their knowledge. They're going to vary when it comes to understanding some subjects. They're going to vary in their abilities, just like every other Christian will. When we think about apt to teach, it may be that a younger elder is less skilled than an older elder. Or it may be that an older elder used to be a great teacher, but perhaps the memory is not as sharp in the later years. Or perhaps there's been some kind of mental decline. And that older elder is still apt to teach, but the younger elder is more apt to teach. So as we look at these qualities, in some ways we do need to remember that there are degrees associated with them. Moving to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. It's here that we find some of the Lord's disciples asking Jesus for some teaching. They turn to the Lord and they say, teach us to pray. Have you ever had anyone ask you that question? Teach me to pray. I'm not sure how to pray. If we were an elder and someone came to us and asked us that question, how would we respond? I can tell you that various people, including some elders, have been asked this question on various occasions. I've been asked it at various times, and I'm thinking, as I'm going through this material, of a Christian who was once doing, several years ago, some mission work in Russia. After a handful of people were converted and they knew nothing about the Bible, they knew nothing about the God of the Bible, the person, the Christian, began to talk to them about various things, one of which was prayer. The people in that group said, how do we pray? We have no idea how to pray. Teach us to pray. As America becomes more and more secularized, we need Christians, especially if they're going to serve as an elder, who are apt to teach. People who are able to answer the kind of question that we find in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. You may not know it, or you may not be very knowledgeable of it because of the area wherein we live. But as we look at a broad cross-section of our culture, north, south, east, and west, we have come to a time. We are living in a day where a lot of people no longer know the basic truths of religion. Now, that's sad. But folks, it's true. We have people today, people I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime, who are asking, how can we know if there is any kind of God? If there is a God, how can we know which God is true? How can we know which God is right? And how can we prove that? You say the Bible is true, but we have all these other religious books. How can we prove that the Bible is the true book from deity? Why reject all other religious writings which claim to be from some superhuman being other than the scriptures? People will come along and say, well, we're curious about death. What happens after death? What is faith? What is repentance? What does it mean to become a Christian? We have some of the most fundamental questions being asked now from virtually every level of society, from the people who have not gotten through high school to people who have graduate degrees. One of the qualities being apt to teach is essential for elders. In our time, it's always been important. But that quality is also essential for each one of us if we're trying to live the Christian life. Evil and false ideas are surging from the world. And if you don't look, believe that. Just look at what's being taught in our pre-college schools, in our colleges, across the land. It's on TV, various forms of media. People are being fed all kinds of garbage. And it's time. If we've not been trying to stand up for what's right, it's time for God's people to stand up and say, this is right, this is true. It's not just what we believe, it's what we believe, it's what we hold to because of the evidence. In Luke 13, verse 26, going along with what we were just saying, based on Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we find here some information about teaching, which some of us may have never witnessed. Here in Luke chapter 13, verse 26, Jesus talked about teaching in the streets. In this country, there have been a few places where there have been street preachers. I know some of that's been done out west. Sometimes it's been done down south, places like Louisiana. People sometimes, if they don't refer to it as street preaching, they will refer to it as open-air preaching. I think Jonah, the prophet Jonah probably engaged in this kind of activity when it came to Nineveh. Now, I'm not sure how effective street preaching is in the United States. For someone to go down to a public square where people are gathered, and just perhaps either in the loudest voice that they can, you see some of the people, they seem to be on the crazy side, the sign carriers, but there's some people that actually go down with the Bible and say, repent! The judgment of God will one day come. You need to become a Christian. Again, I'm not sure how effective that approach is. Oftentimes, it's ridiculed. And in some cases, it seems like street open-air preaching in America has been outlawed. Whatever one might conclude or think about open-air preaching in the United States or perhaps another country, one thing is without dispute. It takes some courage. It takes some guts to go into a public place where people are perhaps reveling in sin and begin trying to tell them about God. When I think about a person being apt to teach, 1 Timothy 3:2, whether that is an elder or whether that is someone else, it takes some courage. Not too long ago, if you are a member of this congregation, you received a book. A free book that was entitled Muscle and Shovel. I know that at least a few people here have seen this information, but I don't think all have. You may not realize it, but about a week ago, the man, the preacher who authored that material, is described as having received a credible death threat. Someone did not like the information that was put out in that book, and it angered them so much that a death threat was made against this man. And the police, because the preacher's speaking engagements were public, there was concern about what might happen, so the police encouraged him to cancel his speaking engagements. If we now live in a culture where a preacher is threatened with death because he has simply tried to communicate the gospel to someone, if we're going to be apt to teach, I maintain that courage is needed when we think about this quality. Not just for the elder, but for any and every Christian. A teacher never knows when he or she might be asked when a question comes up. And it takes some courage to be willing to stand up and to try to communicate the gospel to people. Sometimes, as a person who's apt to teach, shares the information about the scriptures, there is some resistance, and that's not new. As we look at the book of Acts, we find that there was great resistance. In Acts chapter 4, verse 18, Christians were told to not speak at all in the name of Jesus, not just tone it down, not just go to the safe zone where their speech would be tolerated, but the officials said, we don't want to hear a word when it comes to Jesus and the gospel. We want you to completely shut down what you're saying. It's possible for someone to be the finest teacher within 100, maybe 1,000 mile radius. But that skilled teacher, that person who is apt to teach, is not willing to speak out and speak up for the truth. Or it may be the case that the teacher does not want to present information that people need to hear. When we think about that quality apt to teach, whether it is associated with an elder, whether it is associated with every Christian, there's more going on there than someone who is able to grab some material and present that as far as a sermon or a Bible class. A few days ago, if you are a Facebook user and you pick up some information related to the church, you may have seen a story which received a lot of attention. I'm guessing this is down south. I don't know exactly where the congregation is, but that was the impression I got. But there was a preacher in his study one day, and an elder showed up. And the elder said, I want you to know that we have some members who are complaining. The elder said, we're getting reports from members that you are using too much Bible. And that's got to be corrected. Now, I don't personally know the preacher. I don't personally know the elder. I'm just drawing from the information that was put out in a lot of different sources, information from the sources that I gathered. It seems to be credible. But as I think about that elder, and think about what was related, I can see some application to being apt to teach. If that elder was apt to teach, rather than coming and knocking on the preacher's door, he should have gone to the complaining members and should have said, you have an issue. If you think that this fellow is really using too much Bible, then let's see. Let's sit down and see what the Bible says about talking about the scriptures. Imagine that man one day standing before God and answering for trying to reduce the amount of Bible that was taught in a congregation. If there really was a problem concerning too much Bible, the problem was likely not with the preacher. Based on what I've described, the problem, from what I can tell, was not with the preacher, but the problem was with the congregation and the elder. That one who was apt to teach failed to stand up and do what was right. But it was easier, apparently, for him to go after the preacher rather than correct the flock. When we think about apt to teach, there is a lot going on with this quality, which seems to be so simple to define and apply. When we look at the Christian life, one of the most basic elements, one of the most basic parts of the Christian life is communicating information about the gospel to others. Before Jesus went back to heaven, this was one of the things that emphasized the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24. God wants his people to the best of their ability to simply teach people, to share the message with people, so at least they have an opportunity to have eternal life. God's people recognized that in the first century, really in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 42, we find this fascinating verse. The text there says that God's people, they ceased not to preach Jesus as the Christ. Paul, as he wrote to the young preacher Timothy, he's talked about teaching in season, out of season, when people wanted it, when people didn't want it. It was an ongoing activity. In the first century, there were times, just like now, when the gospel was not in season, it was not popular, it was out of season. There were some people who didn't want to hear the truth. There were some people who hated the truth. And as we saw from Acts chapter 4, people who tried to shut down the truth. If we're someone who refuses to stop preaching Christ in spite of what the world says, part of our teaching is going to occur outside this building. In our Sunday morning class, we've been looking at the book of Acts from the standpoint of inferences, commands, examples. We've not picked up speed in that point yet, but we're headed that way. We do not find, when we come to Acts chapter 5, verse 42, a command. But we do find an example. Christians refuse to stop preaching and teaching that Jesus is the Christ. We're also able, from Acts 5, verse 42, to draw an inference. The expression, cease not, tells us that this was for them a very important activity. And it should be an important activity for us. In every possible way, we should be people who try to share, who try to take some part of that message, whether it is by the life that we live, whether it is by answering a question about the Bible, maybe it's asking someone a question in the spiritual realm, we do our best to preach and teach every single day. As we teach, we need to make sure that we teach the truth. Paul dealt with this once again when he wrote to Timothy. He wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. There's some men who teach a different doctrine. And he said, that's not right. That needs to be fixed. So teach, yes. Teach persistently, yes. Teach in a lot of different places and ways, yes and yes. But make sure that you teach the truth. We need that so people can have a knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. Our world, as we look at it, it's always been in sin. But as we look at our society, especially over the last decade or so, it seems like it is sinking lower and lower and lower and lower. One of the reasons for that may be that those who profess to love God, those who profess to know and appreciate and live by the Scriptures, they're keeping silent too often. People need to be taught. They need to be taught from the time that they're born, literally, until the time that they die. Yesterday I had someone contact me, a lady who is not from this area, and she said, I've seen some of the information that you've put out, and I need some help. She's a member of the church. She said, I have a friend who lives in my area. He's 87 years old. He's a good man, but he's not a Christian. He's good that, in this sense, that at almost 90 years old, when someone has a cow that strays into the pasture, this fellow who's pushing 90 is willing to get on his horse and go out and help that neighbor try to find the stray cow. I thought, boy, that's good. That's a good man. That's someone who really shows consideration for others. But good is not saved. Sometimes the people that we're dealing with, it's a person in a nursing home. Sometimes it's the person who's all wrinkled up, lost all of his hair, gone through perhaps a series of cancer treatments, and is just holding on, barely, to life. He or she, they also need to be taught. Whether it's in the cow pasture, whether it's in the office, whether it's in the school, whether it's in the assembly where Christians meet, all people need to be taught. Thus, elders have to be apt to teach. But such is also true for every other Christian. As we go through our daily lives, are we looking for those opportunities day after day, hour after hour, where we can teach someone? Now, we may not be able to give them the whole spiel, but at least we, like Jesus, can go out and begin sowing some seeds, little by little, and trying to water those seeds to the best of our ability. Are we like the old scribe Ezra in Ezra chapter 7, verse 6? I didn't put that passage on the outline. I added it this morning. But if you were to look at Ezra 7, verse 6, the Bible there says that Ezra was a ready scribe. I like that. When it was time to teach, this man was ready. Now, he may have needed to collect a little of this or a little of that, but he was someone who tried to be prepared. And is that true for us? Are we someone who first tries to be prepared, like Ezra 7, 6, and then we try to carry out that preparation day by day, little by little? Our world needs that. Our world desperately needs that. God wants us to do that. And that's the right thing to do. This morning, we hope that if you are someone who is a Christian, you've believed in Christ, you've repented of your sins, you've come to a knowledge of the truth where you've confessed Christ, you've been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of every single sin, Acts 2, verse 38. You now have enough information, at least on those basic points, to share that information with others. And to encourage people to know that we can establish that God exists, the Bible is His Word, there is only one true God, the Scriptures are the only religious book from God. Many other claims are made, but they're false. This morning, are we committed to being a Christian? And with part of that commitment, being committed to trying to teach others. If not, let's change. Let's change today. We know what God's will is. We simply have to follow it. If you're someone who is not yet a Christian, you think, well, I know some things. But the teaching that I have received, I think it's incomplete. There are still some things that need to be covered. This morning, we'd like to answer your questions. We'd like to sit down and talk with you, study with you, straight from the Bible, so that you can say, I've found the truth, I know the truth, I've obeyed the truth, and I'm on the right road. Whether it's a matter of teaching or something else, if we can help you, will you let us know by coming to the front as we stand and sing the selected song?